everyone, and welcome back to Make Better Wedding Films, the home of new ideas for radical films about people in love. My name is Ben. I will be your host. And before we get into the show, we've got a couple of announcements from our sponsors. The first of which is MusicBed. Now, today we are talking all about making banger epic films, and specifically how to start them, how to kick off with a bang, how to hook your audience. And part of that too is an epic soundtrack, you know, a track that is going to just grab people, make them want to keep watching. And the best place to find that, you know, is MusicBed. They've got the best music available to license for your films on the internet, hands down. So make sure you guys check them out with the link below. It's an affiliate link. It lets them know that we sent you. Plus, you get your first month free, which is a win-win. So yes, MusicBed, we love them. You love them. Check them out. Our second sponsor is Studio Ninja. Now, we all hate admin. It's boring. It sucks. Why not automate it with Studio Ninja? And when it comes to making epic films that are unique to each of your couples, you have to understand your couples. You have to learn about them. And one of those ways you can do that is with an amazing questionnaire to find out about your couples. And why not make that amazing questionnaire once, put it into Studio Ninja, and then it gets sent out automatically to all your couples. You don't even have to think about it. Check out Studio Ninja. It'll help you save time, give you more time to make amazing wedding films. Link below gives you 50% off your first year. Win-win. Alrighty, that's it for the announcements. On to the episode. How you open your film sets the stage for the viewer's experience as a whole. It's a chance to put the most important elements to the couple front and center to make them feel like this film was made for them and no one else. On today's show, I'm talking with Andrea and Aaron from By the Millers about how they developed their storytelling style and how they make each film unique to their couples and why the first 30 seconds are so valuable to your film. My name is Ben and this is Make Better Wedding Films. Aaron, Andrea, the Millers. Kia ora. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. Welcome.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. We're super honored that you reached out and invited us to be on the show.
Yeah. I'm stoked, guys. It's going to be a good one, I think. I'm really excited to hear more about your work. There's something about your work that caught my eye. It's just, you seem to do a really good job of like painting the picture of a couple and like just getting like the essence of them. There's just some sort of, I don't know, whether you like ramp up the cool factor or you can ramp up the elegance, you seem to do a really good job of just like setting the scene of these couples. And like from the moment I hit play on your films, I kind of just like know exactly who these guys are. And that's great. So I'd love to obviously just dive into your whole process and just figure out how you guys are doing that, because it's amazing. But yeah, kind of for everyone at home to kind of just get up to speed with who you guys are, do you want to give us a little rundown on who Aaron and Andrea are?
Yeah, well, if it wasn't obvious, I'm Aaron and this is Andrea.
Hey.
And yeah, together we make By the Millers. And really, we started making wedding films less than 3 years ago. So our first wedding that we filmed was in December of 2019, which is kind of crazy to think about. But yeah, I bought my first camera in May of 2019, which is also kind of crazy to think of that development there. But I've been a creator my whole life. And really, we jumped straight into the corporate world out of college. We got married, jumped in the corporate world. And I always had time for my creative, you know, ventures, whatever it was. And it was mostly music at the time. When I was 5 years old, I started playing piano. My parents kind of forced me into that, which I'm now thankful for. But for the first 5 years of piano, I despised it. It was very structured, which I don't necessarily do well with. And then when I was 10, I picked up a guitar and I immediately fell in love with music. And I always had time for it. And even in college, I made time for that. And you know, played on bands or whatever. And then once I hit the corporate world, that completely took the back burner to where I never had time for it. And I really got burnt out of like not being able to explore that, you know, creative avenue. And so in May of 2019, like I mentioned, I bought that camera and wanted to make YouTube videos with the little time that I did have. I was like, I'm going to set aside time to do this. And so started making YouTube videos. My video quality was trash. You know, we all go through that learning curve. We think we need a new camera, but really what we need is better lighting probably. And so I slowly learned on that side. But within like 3 months of doing that, we were moving back to Texas, and it was a really good transition period, for me to quit my job. And so Andrea is actually the one that pushed me to quit my job. She kind of pulled the, yeah, I'll take care of you.
The sugar mama card.
Yeah, the sugar mama.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah. And so it worked out well. And I always say I had two aces in my hand or whatever, however that poker phrase goes. But basically, I had Andrea like to where I could pursue this full time, even without the full time income right away. And then when we moved back to Texas, you know, my best friend, he's been in the industry for over 5 years, and he was like, hey, you know, tag along with me, see if you like, shooting weddings. And immediately I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And so he's been a mentor for me even to this point. But at the time it was so important to have that mentor to help me. And you know, within a year I was able to make more than what I was making in the corporate world. And now, you know, less than 3 years in, Andrea finally officially quit her job at the beginning of this year. And so now we're able to do it together. And yeah, that's probably the too long story of it, but yeah.
No, that was great. And okay, cool. I think we like to tell a joke of like, school was not always like Aaron's thing. He made it through. He was successful. C's get degrees. He makes that joke a lot. But like looking back in high school, he took like a video tech class and he like excelled like top of his class. And so we like to joke like, we should have known way back then that this would have been, you know, your career and something you would have really loved, with that being like the one class in school that he like really excelled at and really enjoyed. So it's been really cool to see him do this, and glad we took the risks.
No, that's amazing. It's cool to see how you guys have done that and managed that whole like process and transition. And I think a lot of us have similar experiences where like we know we're creative, and we often grow up with like some creative output, but it's never quite clicked just the right amount to really like take off and make it a career, you know, like mm-hmm. Aaron, you obviously had music and stuff. I have a similar experience with illustration and drawing and graphic design. And it's like, I was always a creative person, but never enough to like be like, boom, career, easy. Like, you know, it was always like, I got to have a job first. And then, you know, it wasn't until video came along that something clicked and it's like, aha, creative, but also like not broke. Hooray. You know, that's cool how it's hearing everyone's little story about how they sort of slot in and find their little, just their little place in this whole wedding filmmaking world. It's great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Absolutely.
And also, fuck you guys for being so amazing, like only after a few years in it, like, God damn it.
It was that high school video tech class, you know?
Yeah. You must have had a good teacher. Yeah. Nah, that's right. I'm just salty because I've been slogging away for 10 years at this. But it's all good. I'm not jealous at all. So having only picked up your first fucking camera back in 2019, and your sort of process to where you guys are now, making the amazing videos that you do, fuck you. I think especially too, since Andrew's come on board full time, and it's like, it's now, I guess, you know, by the Millers as the brand, like how do you guys see the brand as it is now? Like, how would you describe by the Millers, like as a wedding film company? Who's your couple? What are you making for them?
Yeah. So I think everything we are starts with our couple. And like, I would say that's not where we were at the beginning. Like, it definitely took us some time to figure out that that's what we wanted to do and how we wanted to brand ourselves and build our company, and develop as filmmakers. But yeah, everything starts with our couple. And so the couple that we love to serve wants to really be themselves on their wedding day and in front of the camera. And they're generally pretty comfortable in front of the camera, don't have to be overly posed. They just want to be living their best lives on their wedding day, and they're comfortable with us being in the background filming that. And when it comes to their wedding day, like they are all about, you know, their relationship, the couple's relationship, but also like their friends and family around them. And so typically the weddings that we do aren't super tradition heavy. It's more about like how the couple can integrate things that are unique to them and personal to them, which is really fun. Keeps us on our toes. We get to do new things with every wedding, which I think creatively stretches us. And maybe even technically stretches us too. So yeah, they are all about making much of themselves, which we are all for. I think another thing that we really look for in our couples is people who are interested in having relationships with their filmmakers. Like when you're planning a wedding, like there's a lot going on in life and sometimes it can be quick. Sometimes engagements are longer, right? But like building a relationship with a filmmaker is not always on top of somebody's list, but for us to make films that are unique to couples, like we need that time to connect with them and build that relationship. And so it's super important to us to like find those couples who values like building that relationship and investing the time. And then also we love serving couples who have personal vows or letters integrated into their day. Again, like just their emphasis is on telling their story, and vows, letters, that kind of thing is a really good way for them to like celebrate, where they've been, where their relationship is at now, what they're looking forward to in marriage. So we really love, those couples, and those tend to be the kind of couples that we gravitate towards. And then the films we make for them are, again, I think I've mentioned this, but like unique to them, right? Like you look at our portfolio and we've got some really high energy stuff. We got the slow romantic stuff, and it's really just what the couple, like who they are. And so, yeah, I think it took some time to get there. I had a, like in the beginning, an idea of what I thought a wedding film was. And so like when I think of this, I think of a specific wedding where the bride was just the most like energetic, engaging person, goofy that I've ever met. And like I found myself getting frustrated on the wedding day because like there were slow romantic moments where I was like, okay, this needs to be, you know, what I have in my head of slow and romantic when you're buttoning up the wedding dress and you're doing a first look and that kind of thing. And like those moments just weren't landing in the way that I wanted them to. And so I even like told Erin, I was like, I don't know how we're going to make this film. Like, like no moment is landing. She's immediately dancing around or making a joke or like being wild and crazy. And he's like, that's okay. Like, we're not going to make a slow and romantic wedding film for this couple then, you know, like that's not who they are. And so that's not the film that we're going to make. And so like, there was definitely a tension for me at the beginning of like, okay, I'm in this wedding day and I have a film in my mind and it's not playing out the way that I want it to. So yes, had to grow out of that and just remind myself, like, I'm a filmmaker, not for myself or for us or our brand or our egos or whatever. Like, I'm a filmmaker for these people. And to celebrate them and make much of them.
That's because I feel like that's the sort of shit that comes like with time and like, I don't know, I think a lot, yeah, because a lot of us do like that. We come in with an idea, we've seen other wedding films, we come in with an idea in our mind about how we want to shoot things and stuff. It takes a bit of time to really like have stuff thrown at you and then sort of change a plan on the fly and like, and adjust to what's being thrown at you. And it's a, what I can see in your work is that like you guys do a really good job of basically taking whatever energy is in front of you and really like, you know, portraying that on film, like in the best way. Like you enhance all the best, you know, moments of whatever emotion, whatever energy, whatever kind of interaction, whatever vibe is going on, you guys do a great job of kind of like ramping whatever that is up. So I'd love to know like how you, like what was your guys' approach to kind of like learning, you know, videography, filmmaking, storytelling, cinematography? Like how have you guys gone from 0 to 100 with especially your kind of more like nuanced kind of storytelling understanding? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good question. I can't emphasize like how important it is to have a mentor. Like that accelerates things really quickly. Like if you have someone that can walk with you and also someone that's not just going to like feed your ego and be like, wow, you're talented. You've only done this how many times? But like, you know, my mentor was brutal. Like, I edited a film for him as like a learning thing, but also like, you know, he was just like, hey, I'm back. I'm pretty backed up on wedding films. This is a cool learning opportunity and I can show you what I would do differently. But he was brutally honest. He's like, dude, this ain't it. Restart completely. And I was like, oh no, I thought it was good. Like that on the mentor side, that's super important. And again, I can't emphasize how much like it is important to find one that's going to be honest with you. But aside from like finding a mentor, which I think everyone should, like really education is super important. And I think there is an emphasis, especially now, on education. But like to the point where it was not, I mean, it depends on how much you want to put into this, but it wasn't only my job, but it was also my hobby and it was where I spend my free time too. And so it was just like an overemphasis. It was honestly, like Andrea can probably attest to this, it was probably annoying to where how obsessed I got like, with it.
He would be watching YouTube videos when I'm trying to sleep. Like we're both in bed. He's watching YouTube videos. I'm like, at least put in headphones. Come on, I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah. And then it would be a talking point for us for, you know, a really long time. And so I think like, you know, what you want to put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And so if you really want like an accelerated growth, then you need to find mentors. You need to an emphasis on education, but it's really easy to only do those two things and not actually shoot too. And so, finding opportunities to shoot, be on site and, you know, do as much as you can with your camera.
Yeah. And I'd add like a healthy dose of like humility is probably pretty important. I think it's pretty, egos can be built pretty quickly and you can feel like you know everything pretty quickly. And just staying humble and like, even if somebody shoots differently from you or using different gear, that kind of thing, like still like humbling yourself to like what they've learned and wanting to hear from them and like being curious, instead of staying in your own little box is what I've seen him do well. For sure. Because I've learned everything from him. So yeah. My education is this guy.
Aaron. No, amazing. I think that that process of a mentor and especially a brutally honest one where like, because I think it's so hard to be critical of your own, like to be critical of your own work in a really constructive way. Because I think to make something, you can kind of have a feeling of like, I like it, but I'm not 100% happy, but I don't really know why. Oh, well, move on. To have someone be like, no, this is wrong. Start from scratch. Like, well, you would never start from scratch without somebody telling you to, you know? So I think that definitely sounds like it's part of the reason of that kind of like, like you're saying, accelerated understanding of like storytelling and finding the right threads to follow, that's gotten you guys to where you are now is amazing. Before I start to really dive in on your actual process, I'd love to know, outside of say, you know, music and obviously some of your kind of more educational, you know, YouTube obsessions and stuff, like what's been sort of, I guess, for you guys, especially now, you know, with where you guys are now together and stuff, like what are some of the places that you guys find inspiration for the brand, inspiration for your storytelling? What are some of the things that fill up your guys' cup, basically?
I mean, the most direct answer would be like films, right? And so like a lot of wedding filmmakers will try to, you know, look up to, oh, what's going on right now in the current trendy thing in wedding films. But one thing that we really try to direct most of our inspiration from, or pull most of our inspiration from is films that we would see, like that anyone would see on the big screen or wherever. And so, we spend a lot of time watching movies and we love watching movies. We actually, since she became full time, we started something we call Matinee Mondays. And so, one thing we enjoy doing is going to see a matinee on Mondays. Cause you know, we typically work the weekends and we want to rest a little bit on a Monday. And so, we'll do that and we'll pull inspiration, sometimes even talk about like, oh, what was, unique about this film? Like, what did we learn from this? But I still think that's like super probably generic answers for, you know, where someone pulls inspiration from if they're a filmmaker. Beyond that, though, like film in general is super inspirational to me. I've been shooting 35 millimeter film, still photography film, for, you know, a couple of years now.
Before it was cool.
It was not before it was cool. It was definitely on the climb up, but, now it's impossible to find, which kind of sucks. But yeah, I think like the couples too, like one thing that's a huge inspiration for us, is our couples. And so we kind of talked a little bit of the emphasis on getting to know them. And once you like really know people, truly on a personal level, then there's so much inspiration you can pull from them. Cause everyone's wired differently and unique, and each couple's unique. And so we get to show up and we realize how family oriented there are. And we like, I pull inspiration from that. Cause I'm like, oh, I wish I'm so stoked to see how they did a destination wedding with just their family. Like, how cool is that? There's that element there, and that's so important to them. And so we really love to pull inspiration from our couples. And I don't know if there's anything to add to that, but
yeah, it's really great. We get to just steal inspiration from others, walk into a wedding day and just see like inspire us. but yeah, their music taste, the way they interact with people, the way they decorate their wedding, like all of that can be like super inspirational to us.
Amazing. Well, I think let's sort of segue from there into talking about your process, and let's start with the couples and how you guys find inspiration from them. So like, what's your kind of process from either when the couple have booked or even beforehand, like what's your sort of process to kind of like discover who these couples are? Like how do you find the little threads to pull out and focus on?
Yeah. So, really it even starts with the inquiry form. Like we have a very open-ended, like tell us your story, which I'm sure a lot of people have as part of their inquiry form, but we already in that start seeing who they are, a little bit about them. And then from there, we go into our discovery call. We always have a phone call or preferably a video call with couples before talking through our collections and stuff. And so we get a really good idea of like if we vibe, if there's chemistry between the four of us, like what they're interested in, who they are. Like we talk 75% of the time just about like their relationship, how they met, the engagement, that kind of thing. And like the last 25% is saved for the wedding day, because like the wedding day is a small piece of who they are. And so we want to hear and put like the emphasis on all the other things that make them, not just their wedding day. And so it really starts with that discovery call, and it pretty naturally flows from there. Like if we vibe, like it's going to happen. We're going to get to work together, which is awesome. And like the next step sounds pretty silly, but like Instagram, like the necessary evil of Instagram. So I go and I follow everybody. It's awesome that it's part of my workflow every day to get to go and watch stories and interact with people's posts. But like, super important for me to like watch that and be taking that in, and then also be like interacting with it. If it's like a heart eye emoji, or if I'm like actually sending them like a DM back, like you get to see different aspects of like their life that you don't normally get to see, like, their businesses. A lot of our clients are business owners and they are fellow creatives, and we get to like come alongside them and support them. And, yeah, get to like, even that leads to like interactions in person. One of my favorite stories is we have a bride, and we know that she's from Hawaii, and we had traveled to, specifically Kauai this last May. And so we were walking around, we had done like a portrait session at the resort. And so we were walking around with our camera, and, the guy at the like reception desk was like, oh, what kind of camera is that? So we like stopped and started talking about camera gear. And then we're like, well, let's follow you on Instagram, because he was a photographer too. And so we follow him on Instagram, and we see that we have a mutual friend, which is one of our future brides. And we're like, no way, how do you know her? And like, turns out they went to high school together. So like, I texted her and I was like, and sent her a selfie of us with her friend. And she was like, no way, I can't believe you're in Kauai. My family owns a business there. Like, please go see my mom. And so we did. We ended up going and visiting her mom and their little business there. It's like a beautiful botanical garden. And like, her mom made us like handpicked leis in this little gift basket. And like, we got to go explore like the gardens and like that was just the most random thing to happen because like we had been interacting on social media before and like texting before and like just putting ourselves out there and making personal connections. And like now, like us and that bride, like we're tight, right? Like I know her mom. So yeah, Instagram goes a long, long way. Before the wedding day, we try and meet up in person. So a lot of our brides are like local to us, so we can go and take them out to dinner and drinks. Sometimes they're not, if they're like a destination or elopement couple. So we'll still like sync up virtually and we call them happy hours, virtual happy hours. So we'll play games or make a cocktail or like still do something outside of just discussing like timeline and, questionnaire details and things like that. We still want to like cool pieces of their personality that we might not get if we're only focused on wedding day details. A lot of times, like it turns into there's a handful of couples that we've already met with four or five times and like their wedding's not until this fall. But they're just like characters in our life, like not characters, but like main like points in our lives. They're just like straight up friends now and like their wedding day hasn't even happened yet. Those are kind of the pieces we put in there to like have that time with the people we get to work with.
Amazing. That's amazing. And hearing you say that is just like, when I look at your work, hearing you say that makes total sense because it's clear, crystal clear that you understand who these people are and you're pulling out aspects of them that someone who's done a 15-minute Zoom call talking about the run sheet could never have done. You know, like it's fantastic. And for anyone listening, myself included, like the importance, like what you can gain from that deeper connection with a couple, the level of inspiration you can pull, it's clear because it's just is so many. Like I think as creatives, we underestimate what ingredients we can pull together to actually like come up with a unique idea. And when you're like understanding like just little, like just following these couples on Instagram, because I think like, you know, our quote unquote real friends in life, we see most of their life online, right? You know, yeah. We're often, you know, just like keeping up with people's day-to-day lives through stories and through social media and stuff. And the fact that you can do the same thing with these couples, like, you're keeping up with and learning their like who they are and their nuances in a really easy, low friction way. And be able to pull out little inside jokes and little threads of inspiration is amazing. So yeah, no, that makes absolute sense. That the fact that you guys do that, it translates to your films, clearly. We're going to cut to a quick break. We're going to pay some bills. And when we come back, we're going to start to talk about the day itself and then we'll get into editing. All right, back in a second. Studio Ninja is the world's highest rated studio management software. It contains a huge suite of tools from calendar integration and double booking warnings to contract templates and automated client workflows. If you want more time to focus on the creative parts of being a wedding filmmaker and less time on admin, then why not take 50% off when you sign up with the promo code MBWF50 and get your first year of Studio Ninja for as little as $125 US. Let's talk about the day now. So you guys have been absolute top-notch Instagram stalkers. You've taken them out for drinks. You've done Zoom game parties, margarita, happy hour sessions. You guys have been absolutely killing it in the lead up to the wedding. What does a wedding day look like for you now? You guys rock in. You're already coming in with that energy, that connection. What does the day look like for you in terms of how you actually capture that?
Yeah, so when you ask that question, the first thing that comes to mind is like the beginning of the day, right? And usually that's walking into the bridal suite and like saying hello and seeing how everybody is. And like early on, those times would be maybe a little nerve wracking to me because I'm like, oh, which one is the bride? I hope I don't like misidentify her or like forget her name. Like before we had really like built the structure of like building these relationships, like that was a very nerve wracking day or part of the day. Now it's one of my favorites because I come in with my big old camera, which can sometimes be a little, you know, nerve wracking for the people in the room, right? Like, but since we have that relationship ahead of time, I might have met their mom already, or even some of like their bridal party. Like, it's a very hype, like, yo, what up? How's it going? And we get to just like catch up on how the day's been, like if it's been really fun and what they've had to eat, or if there's been drama, we get to talk about that. But it's like just a very like disarming time of the day where like we just get to be very comfortable and really start off those candid moments. And I get to just be another one of the girls in the background of the bridal suite, just like taking in the dance parties and the hanging out and like the fun stuff. And so, yeah, the relationships beforehand really help like set us up for some success like early on in the days before like the really structured parts happen, like the ceremony and everything. So those are like really chill, usually like handheld moments for us so that we can stay like adaptable, quick, flexible to whatever may be going on. We work with the lights that's given to us in those situations because it's not always ideal. We don't always want to influence that. So like maybe those aren't like the most picture perfect shots that we get in a day. But they are like really essential to building the story because it's just the couple and their friends and family and just like hanging out, having a good time, like all the in-between moments, which are like really fun and really great if we have been successful at like building that relationship beforehand.
Yeah. And I think like if we're going to talk about the candid things, it's also important to capture the structured things too. You know, like I think we have an emphasis on the candid moments, but we're also hired to capture their wedding and like to capture the day, like, and what happens, like the first look or the ceremony, especially. Right. Yeah, we do our best to like know what's important to them. Like we do get to know them personally, but then we also have an emphasis on like, okay, what's important? Like, what do you need captured on the wedding day? And so like most filmmakers out there, we have a questionnaire that we send out. It's pretty lengthy. We try to make it fun. So it's not just homework, but, basically like with that, we, we'll go through that maybe with them like one time real quick, just to make sure that we got everything that's important to them. We don't want to overemphasize the candid and miss something that is important to them. Cause I think every couple has those must have moments. I think we would all love to say, throw the timeline out. Like we're just going to have fun, but that really isn't, that's probably not going to work for 95% of the weddings or more. So, yeah, that's really important to us. Yeah, if you want to talk about like how structured you are, she's really helped when she jumped on with her structuredness.
Yeah,
if that's a word.
So I'm not the natural creative here. That's Aaron. So he I don't think this is his favorite description, but he's my creative little butterfly. Like he goes over and he blesses one area and then he flutters over and blesses the next. And I'm much more like type A. Like in my corporate experience, I was like a project manager and executive assistant, like love the list. And so before the wedding day, like I go to all the sources, our questionnaires, information from the planner, the timeline, info from the photographer. And then like I put it into this little one pager note on my phone of all the important things that we cannot miss that are like so important to the couple. And so like I write that out beforehand. And then usually on the drive over to the wedding, I read that off to Aaron and we just like review all of it. So it's top of mind. And then like I'll even revisit it during the day. And make sure like we haven't missed things, or I'll check in with him and be like, did you get that shot of the bracelet from the grandma? Like, did you get that? And I start micromanaging a bit, but yeah, we love the candid, love the relationship, but we do not neglect the structured, important little details too.
As you guys are coming in and you're building these lists and stuff, like sort of like lining out all the things that are important for the couple, are you also coming into the day with an idea already in your mind of like the vibe that's going to be at the front, whether it's going to be more of a energetic wedding or more of a kind of like emotional, elegant wedding? And if so, are you adjusting any of like the core ways you capture things? Like say for a more fun wedding, are you going to pick different gear than for an elegant wedding? Like, or is there like certain things that you like, just sort of physical ways you actually approach capturing the wedding differently depending on like who these couples are?
That's a good question. And I think I think we usually come in with like a general idea, like how the day will go and what the couple will be like and what the energy will be like. But sometimes, like Henry gave an example earlier, it completely gets uprooted and you're like, okay, all right, maybe we're not flying the gimbal the whole time. Maybe we have to go handheld. We had a wedding recently where we were running around constantly all over Fort Worth. And it was fun. But I was like, I'm not even touching my gimbal today. Like, there's no way I'm going to carry that around with me all day long and juggle. You know, I usually juggle a handheld and a gimbal, depending on the shot. But I was like, this, you know, we're going to have to roll with this. And it works out because we were moving so much. It was just the energy was perfect for that. And so I think we can go in with as much of an idea as we want to. And sometimes it works out, but I have like a perfect way that I would love to capture a wedding, but a lot of times it's like, all right, I got to think on my feet. What can we do here? Cause this isn't going to work. So yeah, do you have anything to add?
Yeah. Like, I think we've kind of infiltrated this friend group. And we know that like their people are like so important to them, and they have like a dozen people in their bridal party. And so like our normal formula is he's like on the wide shot and I'm on like a tighter, like more intimate, like, angle. But for this friend group, I know that I need to be on like a 24 to 70, during the like morning stuff. Cause they're going to be taking shots and doing little impromptu toasts and like dancing around. And like, I don't want to miss like the big group shot because I'm on my typical like 50 millimeter lens. So like there's things like that that we know about beforehand, or, like a lot of our couples do tend to be like higher energy, very like goofy, friendly, but a lot of times we also get the more like elegant, very dramatic couple. And so our poses will be different, right? Like we'll mix that up because we want to pull like the more sultry, kind of sexy vibes in like the portrait session and that. So like there's little things here and there that we mix up depending on like who the couple is and what we've learned about them. But ultimately, like flexibility is like the name of the game on the wedding day, to just be able to go with the flow, whatever happens.
Amazing. And well, let's talk now about your directing style. And I think, especially in the context of, I think, how you work with the photographer in that dynamic, and especially when, say, the photographer, I imagine that you'd have times where the photographer wouldn't be as like clued into exactly like who this couple is. They might be coming in with a preconceived notion of how they want to pose this couple that might go against your guys' vision for, you know, that they might be coming in with quite structured posing for this high energy couple. How do you guys approach directing, balancing your time with the photographer, and maybe even like switching up the energy that the photographer's giving?
I'll let you talk about that.
Oh, okay.
She's good at directing. So,
first of all, we love our photographers. We've built like an awesome community here. A good amount of like our couples, like we end up working with some of the same photographers again, because like the couples are looking for a photo video team that vibes well and like has a similar style. And so there are some photographers that we don't need to say anything because we've worked with them a handful of times and we just know how to feed off of one another. So like example, they want a kiss, right? And so instead of just like letting that kiss happen, we're like, hey, how about we actually like walk into this kiss? And so like we just partner with the photographer to like get some movement into the shot that they already want. But that's not always the case. There's a lot of weddings out there, a lot of photographers out there. And so sometimes we do run into different styles. And so it's something we've just had to grow in being like confident and like stepping in. Like wedding days are fast and furious sometimes, and that photographers like match that energy, right? They're like, this pose, this location, like let's keep moving. So we've had to just grow in our confidence to be like, can we slow down? Or like at the end of a pose, can you give us a second to like step in and do a slight variation? And so we didn't always do that because we felt like it was overstepping or maybe rude or messing with their flow. But I think we've gotten good at like pausing and slowing down the moments in like a kind, respectful way, so that we can still get what we need. So, yeah, just building the it's all about the relationships, man. building the relationship with the photographer, even like early in the day when they're like getting their flat lay set up, like, hey, can I bring you the bouquet? Or can I do this, that? Like, go ahead and getting that like chemistry rolling with them so that like if you do need to step in, if things aren't going like exactly the way that we might need, like if they're not letting the couple kind of have their own interactions and are quick to the next pose or something, like then it's more natural to step in and be like, hey, can you just give us like 5 seconds after a pose? So
that's come up a few times on the show recently, that kind of like hybrid approach, rather than like, this is our time, this is your time, that kind of hybrid approach of like, just like tweaking existing poses, being like, hey, like I see what you're doing here. How about we like walk into the kiss, or how about we just like add some movement to this pose that you're doing? That sort of hybrid approach, so that you're sort of just like not segmenting out the time super rigidly, which can break people's flow, both the photographers and the couples, and just works with everyone's vibe. I like that. That sounds, that's cool.
Yeah. I wouldn't even be afraid to like emphasize that beforehand. Like if you feel like it's going to be one of those photographers that want just shot and all they need is a millisecond, right? And so like just beforehand say like, hey, like when we, communication is so important. And so like, hey, when we do the poses, do you mind like explaining what you want them to do? And then we'll have them actually do it. So that way, like when you're actually out there, it's not like startling to them. Like, oh, they're going to try to direct this whole thing, huh? So just communication.
Is there any other, I guess, before we move on to editing, in terms of how you capture the day, is there ever any times that you guys find yourselves needing stuff outside of the wedding day itself, or even like times on the wedding day, like adding some kind of structure to it? Like, say you've like noticed a candid moment, do you want to kind of like recapture that in a different location, or do you like do shoots with couples outside of the wedding day itself? Is there any kind of like other elements to how you capture things that involves you kind of like having a more direct kind of creative hand to like manipulating things?
Me again? Oh, okay. He's gonna get to talk about all the editing. Yes. So
yeah. I'll my time. About the editing.
So. All right, so
move aside. So outside of the wedding day, we've really put an emphasis on like our adventure sessions, which is just like a session outside of the wedding day that can literally be whatever the couple wants. So one of our couples just wants to sit down and be interviewed about their relationship. And so we're going to rent a little studio space, sit them down in front of the camera and just have a list of questions and like ask them, and they're just going to get to interact and be themselves. We have another couple who wants to go get tattoos. So we're going to tag along while they get their tattoo. And then we have another couple like out there where we're a few more weddings out there where they've got those sessions booked and we don't quite know what they are yet, but maybe it's like a hike, or we follow them to a coffee shop, or little things like that, that we've really like emphasized in like our discovery calls. And like, as we're building the relationship with the couple of like, we see that y'all love this. Like, what if we tag along and capture that and integrate it into your film, or rehearsal dinners? We love to suggest rehearsal dinner coverage because those toasts are so heartfelt and so emotional and so great. And typically that's not covered. So you get to remember all of those moments. So yes, we definitely, emphasize or encourage people to find some sessions with us outside of the wedding day. And then, I mean, we really are suckers for the portrait session on the actual wedding day. Like, we love to get that time with just the couple. Like, we can be a little selfish in that way, and we like to have them all to ourselves. But it's also great to see them just like interacting, the two of them, after all the craziness has happened, right? The ceremony's over, like all the like family pictures are over, and they just get to be with one another and be married. And so we definitely encourage like good, healthy portrait sessions, and making sure we get to make some time to find the best places at the venue to go like make that happen and get that time with them. So anything else?
I don't think so. Yeah. We are trying to emphasize more these adventure sessions. And I think we always emphasize like the portrait sessions. And we told them like, we're going to have fun. I promise. Like, it's not going to be what you would think, like stand here and take a picture. But now we're trying to make that go even further into like, what's important to y'all outside of the wedding day? Cause we want to capture that. And so that's kind of where our new emphasis is going. And we got a lot of exciting ones coming up that we're going to do. So
amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. That's something that I'm keen to explore too. These kind of like, it's kind of like outside, like added flavor outside of like the event itself to kind of mm-hmm. like paint the picture of these couples. Are these adventure sessions kind of part of your main packages, like part of your offering, or are you kind of doing them as little added extras for the couples who, you know, want to go a bit beyond?
Yeah. Good question. So we have a typically a three, you know, collection, whatever. And what's the term?
Three-tiered collection.
Three-tiered collection. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
She helps me out a lot with words.
Price anchoring.
Exactly. Yeah. And so our top one has that already built in. We tell our couples, like, if you have the fear of missing out, like, this top one is for you. But they can add it to any one as an add-on. And we actually have it priced relatively low. Like, obviously, if they're far away, you know, we might have to throw in some travel. But if they're in the area, like we have it priced reasonably, because I'm all for, if it's going to elevate like the film and make it better, I want to do it. Like, I just need to be like compensated enough for it to be like worth the time, but it's going to make editing that film even easier and better. And so, yeah, that's how it's structured right now.
Awesome. I like that. I was just interested to see how you guys approached, I guess like the kind of the business side of those extra adventure sessions and stuff, but that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, Aaron, let's focus on you for now, mate. Cause it basically is when it comes to editing, are you head honcho in the editing seat? Does Andrea, do you have much of a role when it comes to editing, or is it mostly Aaron?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we do doc edits here and there. And so like, those are my jam, right? Like I can throw a multicam together, sync that good audio, but like, that's a straightforward event, right? Like I'm just showing you the event as it happened. Teasers, I've branched into teasers. And then I'm working on my first full film right now, and it's terrifying, but I have a great teacher. So I'm dipping my toe, but he's the head honcho for sure.
I think it comes naturally to me, but I would also think Andrea doesn't give herself enough credit there either. She's more creative than she leads on. And so she's a promising editor here. And I'm excited to see where that leads. Cause, yeah, for a while it was kind of exhausting, and, where it's like doing all the teasers and all the, you know, creative edits, the longer films. And so it's really nice, like, trusting that she can, you know, get it, you know, if not 90% there, like all the way there, where it's just like, okay, you know, I'll you know, edit sound and color and boom, it's done. So, I would say that right now, it's mostly me for at least the full length films. But she's doing good.
Nice. And so when it comes to like the start of your process, what's your kind of workflow look like in terms of how you start to break down all this raw footage and find the threads that you're going to follow in the film?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily anything revolutionary. Like when I get to the computer, it's I have a template with all the bins, and I just start culling everything, and I try to throw everything in there. I sync the multicams, and then at that point, I'll start to explore the word said at the wedding, whether it be vows or whether it be toasts. And then like to find or start going down those threads and find that story. One thing that like we usually go in with a really good idea already. Like I think when we first started, I would sit down at the computer, like, I don't know where to start with this. Like I have no idea how I'm going to make a wedding film right now that's beyond a basic template. But I usually have a pretty good idea, maybe even songs. Like I'll save songs while I'm searching for another wedding film, and I know I can't even edit this film for 2 months, but I'll say like, oh, that might be perfect for so-and-so because I already have a template or an idea of where I'm going to go with that film in my head. And so really it comes down to piecing that together and really recalling, like, I'll go through the multicams and I'll cut everything that I might use, pull them up, to kind of like say, okay, you know, here's a basic outline of where we might go with the story.
I'd love to hear a bit about your, how you approach your intros. Cause you often do a really amazing job of just like setting the stage for your couples. And like I said before at the start of the show, I hit play on your films and it's like the first kind of scene, the opening scene really paints a picture of who this couple is. So like, how do you go about like figuring out like, what's going to be the kind of like the leading energy to kind of like set the stage of who this couple is?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I would say well over 90% of the time that intro comes to us on the wedding day, which is, you know, kind of crazy to think about, but like we'll have a moment where we can, sometimes we'll look at each other and think like, that's the intro right there. Like that summarizes the couple right now. Cause that's what we try to do with the intro. Not every intro needs to be this hype party intro. Cause not every couple is hype and party. And so, I think like going in already, and I mean, we're probably overemphasizing this, but going in already, knowing them and knowing what's important to them, we can see that even more on the wedding day. And so, if I want to like recall a specific example, we did a wedding in Colorado and, they were super family oriented and we knew that right away that they were super, or their family was so important to them. And so we really, Andrea did a good job at capturing, the bride's father picking flowers with his granddaughter. And she just got it and we thought it was a really sweet video or something for her to capture. And then during his toast at the end of the evening, he started talking about that story, and saying how he kept calling her Cassidy, who the bride was. And, he kept calling her by her name or by her, the bride's name, and, kept like thinking about her and only saw her when he would mention her. And I was like, wow, the family was completely moved by that moment. And, I just immediately like looked at Andrea. I'm like, there's our intro. Like we got the shot. We got the story of how, like, you know, it just summarizes that couple and that family in general. And so, that's one specific example. We find that. Go ahead.
Sorry. I'll add that, like, when I got that shot, like, I wished I was on a different focal length. It was like middle of the day, super bright, not exposed the way I would have liked, but I was like, this is a sweet moment. I'll grab it anyway. We'll see what happens. And like, it, like, that speech tied in perfectly with it. And so just like an encouragement to like, even if the shot's not the most perfect thing in the world and not your dream moment, like capture it anyway, because that's important to the couple. You know, like it might not be that shot might not be the header of our website, but it's going to build that story and it's going to like bring up what's important to the couple. So, yeah, just a little sidebar there.
Yeah. If you can have the visuals and the words together and tell that story with that, then it's even more impactful. So
yeah, absolutely. And I think this is where it's like going that extra little distance to be like, to know, to like capture those things and like, and piece those things together. And even just like, there's one of your films, things like the first one on your Instagram account that opens with like the bridesmaid or the maid of honor, like singing Kanye West, and it's just like, it's just so, I don't know, it's just like the perfect little intro. And it's not like, because usually I'm guilty of like just looking in like the structured parts of the day for the audio, like just looking at the speeches or just looking at the ceremony, and I often like will stumble across these little more candid moments like as I'm editing, go, oh, that's good. But like to find that perfect little candid moment and like sort of pick that up and pop it at the start was just, I found that was great.
Yeah. We kind of have a motto that's like, always be filming. like it, we want to film those moments, but I've also kind of learned how to like hip fire with my camera to where like maybe they won't even recognize it, you know? And so our goal is to like capture those moments, those candid moments. And sometimes it's not, that shot was probably pretty shaky because I was like hiding it. And also like, I immediately see that moment. I'm like, oh, I got to capture this. So
yeah, because it happened because like the bride was hot. Like it was outdoor summer Texas wedding. And so she was like, you know, kind of redoing her makeup, like not the most glamorous shot of the day, but like her maid of honor was there to like help her like start feeling better and start feeling confident again. And like, again, there's that key relationship that is so important to like celebrate and like notice, even though it's like, okay, like again, an in-between moment of fixing her makeup before we continue with the portrait session.
So when it comes now to like, you've obviously got these moments, and like, talk to me about how you kind of like enhance them. Cause I feel like I said before earlier, you do a good job of not only like recognizing moments, but enhancing them. And I think a lot of that comes to do with like the music and how you pair that and the kinds of editing techniques and like, some of the, yeah, transitions and effects and like everything sort of just done tastefully and all in service of like elevating that particular moment. So I think even like focusing in on music, like how are you going about discovering like music and picking the right thing that's going to like elevate that particular emotion in that part of the edit?
I think like being musical my whole life has kind of really given me the ability to understand music and understand why you would feel a certain way from music. And then also like understanding music, I'm able to like completely chop a song up and make it how I want it to be. Like if you don't really understand time signatures, you might be able to chop it up, but it might not sound right. But like if I'm understanding, like if it's a, you know, 4/4, which is pretty standard, then I know like when to cut and when to splice the other part of that song, or maybe even another song. But then you have to find a song in that key. But really the emphasis is like, I don't want to be restricted to just one song and how it builds. I really want to be able to manipulate that song as much as I can without it sounding kind of crazy. Yeah, I think, spending probably way too much time in music bed, and a few other, you know, places I'll look. And, I spend a lot of time there looking for songs, looking based off emotions of the song, and then manipulating it. And I'll put the story on there and I'll do my best, like on the timeline to, okay, this is kind of how I want it. But then manipulating the music to fit in with it. I think like to outline the best example I can, I'm working on a film right now where I have two songs in the first minute and it's cut. Those two songs have 8 cuts in them, to manipulate the dynamics as much as I can. And so it's really not like overly complicated, stuff to understand with the music. Just once you know those basics, then like you can start manipulating those songs yourselves, and like then you're not tied to the song and the dynamics of that song. You can make it how you want it.
That's what I thought you were going to say, because it makes like with you having a musical background, you understand and have a better understanding of how to manipulate music. And because I can see that in your films where like the footage isn't restricted and penned in by the music. The music is working itself around the moment that has been captured. And I think so often as filmmakers, we feel penned in and restricted with like, this is when the song, you know, climaxes, or this is when the beat hits, and we can we like fill in space to kind of serve that. But when you start to manipulate and work the music around the actual moments that's captured and make it fit that, it's almost like a tailored suit, you know, like it's rather than just like grabbing something off the rack and popping it on your body, you've tailored this piece of music to fit like perfectly to this moment that you've captured. It just, it makes a world of difference, and you definitely see it in your work.
If only we could afford to have someone score these films for us.
Well, it's the thing. We're getting as close as we can. Like, it's, you know, at the same time, like, I always love a good, like, needle drop in a you know, Hollywood film, like, where where the music kind of comes forward and it's like, it's about the song that's being played and stuff. And I think, yeah, you guys did that great in your editing. A couple of points I'd love to kind of finish and wrap us up on as we kind of move towards the end of the episode is, like, we've talked a lot about how you guys make your films for your couple. You know, you're meeting the couple, you're pulling out these threads, you're learning who they are, you're manipulating your cinematography and your directing and your editing and your music choice, and you're manipulating everything to the couple. If you're making these films, like, different for each couple and making them all unique, what do you feel is the guiding thread that makes it a By the Millers film? You know, what makes someone look at your work and recognize that it's by you guys?
Yeah, I think bit of an identity crisis with this question here. early on, I felt like the whole film had to be perfectly, not a template, but like signature shots and all this. And I started to lean in and embrace the couples more, because initially I was like, oh, if they're paying a lot of money for a wedding film, they need to know exactly what they're going to get. I did a while back start to see naturally through that, as I started embracing more of the couples, I started seeing, and you already touched on it, but like the hook that we have at the beginning of our films, is something that I think is characteristic of all of our films, whether it be this hype intro or if it's this, you know, slow romantic part of their vows that like just draws the viewer in and they know exactly where they're going to get. And the emphasis is also saying like, this is who this couple is. You know, we could go on about like, oh, our colors, we try to make them, you know, our signature colors, and we try to have our audio, you know, pristine, and we try to have consistency across the board. But, that pulling the viewer in within the first 30 seconds, is really our goal, with our films. And I think one thing that we have tried to emphasize in our films, to like stand out there.
Yeah. And you instantly learn something about them, you know, something about them, their relationship, and kind of like the vibe of the wedding day. And like our website, we looked back at that and we were able to see with like all the films we decided to put on our website, like, James and Grace, for example, like they are just best friends. And so like the intro is a toast saying, these are two best friends that got married today. And we partnered that with, their uniquely choreographed first dance and then like giggling and like playing. And so like in those first 30 seconds, you learn they are besties. They have so much fun together. Or, Sophia and Grant, their faith is super important to them. And so we integrated a part of his vows where he quotes scripture but is also like playful and light and fun with that. Or Ale and Bo, they love rap music. And so the hook is, rap lyrics in their vows. And so, just looking at those, you can see like that intro that teaches you something about the couple.
Absolutely. And that's definitely something I've seen in your work is that like first 30 seconds, you know who these people are 100%. You can just tell it instantly in your work. And whether like the couple have got this like cool factor or they're just like super dorky and best friends and doing this cool quirky little first dance. It's all amazing. Fantastic. Well, I think to finish us off, our last question, I would love to, I mean, we've talked about so many amazing things people can learn from you guys, but if you have any final advice for wedding filmmakers who want to, I guess, make their films more bespoke to their couples, who want to move away from a kind of hyper structured, like this is the films I make, and move more towards a framework of like making more bespoke films for couples, what would be a piece of parting advice that you guys would give?
Yeah. Well, first, find your voice and find your couple. It's going to be different for everybody. We've learned that we're pretty adaptable and we can go into a lot of different like spaces and work with a lot of different personalities. And we enjoy that. We enjoy doing that. But that's not for everybody, right? You might like the really intentional, slow couples, who, yeah, are going to have like a slower wedding film, or you might vibe more with like the high energy, couple. Like, so just finding your voice and your couple, because like, wedding filmmaking is not always the easiest. Like, the wedding days are long and they're hot and your body hurts from holding a camera a certain way for 12 hours plus. Like, so if you're not doing it if you're doing it like for the money, right? Instead of because you love it and you love the people that you're serving, like you're going to get burnt out. And I think we were on the verge of that at the very beginning before we found our voice and our couples.
Yeah. And I think like taking your time, like, especially if you're really wanting to get like this bespoke film for your couple, taking your time to get to know them, like we've emphasized, but then, taking your time in the edit. So, I think there is sometimes, and this works for some structures, but if you're really wanting a, creative, unique edit, then take your time in that edit, and spend 60 plus hours on it. There's nothing wrong with spending too much time on it in my mind, unless it's just you're completely inefficient with your time, which I'm also guilty of. But like taking your time and exploring those stories, taking your time getting to know them, and then don't be afraid to fill up a card on a camera. Just come with extras. And so like that's kind of, you know, like I said, our motto was always be filming. Try to capture those moments, because you don't know when you're going to be able to tie that audio in with that moment, or like when you're going to capture this in-between moment that will end up actually embodying like this couple really well. And so, yeah, I think that would probably summarize like what we think you could do to increase your, just your storytelling and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yes. I like that, that sort of perspective of like not letting technical things get in the way of the storytelling, like bring more cards, spend more time editing. You like that. Don't like put barriers in front. Of your search for that story, I think is a great perspective. And again, like giving your time to learning about these couples, putting your time into like interacting on Instagram, and having meaningful, catch ups and interactions with your couples. It seems like you guys, your mantra is like, just like care, basically. Mm-hmm. Care and put in the time, put in the work, and it pays off in your films. Absolutely. Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show and sharing all your wisdom and your insights and how you guys have gone from 0 to 100 in 2 years. fuck you. Just to finish on that, just that, you know, that little sentiment there. Yeah. That'll be the title of the episode. The Millers. Fuck you. No, it's great. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch. And it's always great to learn from people who just clearly get it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You guys get it. So as we kind of round off the episode here, if everyone at home has been listening and want to learn more from you guys, obviously jump on Instagram, dive into their work, see what they do and get inspired by what you guys make. But also from an educational perspective, Aaron, you've also been dabbling in YouTube for a wee while, especially on the audio side of things with your audio backgrounds. So anyone who's, you know, like me, knows they need to learn more about audio, we'll have a link to your YouTube page below there. You've got some great stuff on audio and gear and all that sort of stuff, which people can learn more about.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I guess nothing else more to say other than thank you guys so much for your time, for coming on the show. It's been amazing.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you again. We've had a blast.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Amazing. Well, Andrea, Aaron, thank you guys so much. And that's going to do us, everyone at home. We'll see you all next time.